Well, let's bow our heads as we begin with prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to be upon this platform, weighted with laborers for the cause of Christ. Young laborers who are giving the strength of their youth to share the gospel in this generation. And Father, we pray that you would bless them, that you'd bless this soul-winning hour as we hear the testimonies of how you have worked through them and hear from their own lips how you have worked through them to reach souls for your kingdom. So Father, may our hearts be overwhelmed with joy and a renewed earnestness as we see that if these young people can be such earnest laborers for you, how much we want to join and be a part of that earnest labor too. So Lord, bless this hour, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Okay, well, I'm glad to be joined by my wife today, who's been a literature evangelist, and we have special guests like Elder Carter and Elder Crick from the Pacific Union, and then of course we have all those young people here, and we'll just go and watch a brief video that kind of summarizes the ministry and what the young people do.
A book can go where an evangelist can't go. It can keep speaking truth long after the person who brings it has left. It can point someone to the Bible when all other ways have failed. So when a Christian warmly presents a book, it can change the whole course of someone's life. That's why every summer, groups of young people work the cities for 10 weeks, meeting people in their daily routines and leaving them with books that meet their needs and point them back to Jesus. And through the power of God, the lives of thousands of people are impacted eternally. There is a reason this work continues, even though it's not easy. Because there are people everywhere craving truth, longing for something deeper, and waiting for someone to show them the love of God. They could be waiting for you.
So today, as they're listening to the testimonies of our young people, I not only want you to be listening, but I'd be inspired for you to do something for the Lord as well. It's not time to just sit back and enjoy, but also be encouraged to do something. I want to just introduce this group one more time. I would like for the leaders to raise your hand. The leaders. So those are the leaders who are leading the group of this 60-some young people here. And then we have David and Daniela. David, where's David? David and Daniela. And they are in the field working with me, training the different groups. They are the right and left hand of our ministry this summer. And they will be the ones who will take and start interviewing the young people, and let's enjoy the testimonies just now.
Our second week, so we're just getting started, but God has already been working, so we just want to give you a small taste of what's been happening so far. And so I'm going to give a little quote as an introduction, but then as the students tell their stories, they'll just say their name briefly and where they're from, so you'll get an idea of where some of our students come from. So Colporter Ministry page 23 contains one of my favorite quotes on this work. We are told that as Colporters go from house to house, they will find souls who are hungry for the bread of life. There is a famine in the land for the pure gospel. So Karina met one of these hungry, searching souls very recently, and so she's going to tell you how that happened.
So I canvassed a man on the Great Controversy, and I asked him what his spiritual or religious background was, and he said he was Lutheran, but now he's studying the Bible as a Jehovah's Witness, and behind my back of the mind, I started to think that, oh, they don't accept literature from other religions. So I started to pray, and I was like, Lord, please help me to get this powerful book in this guy's home. So he was like debating yes or no with the book, and I just kept praying as I was canvassing, and I started talking more about the Great Controversy, how it has the French Reformation, and it talks about different religions. So I saw the Great Controversy play out right in front of me because he was debating yes or no with the book, and he ended up saying, yes, I'll give the donation for the book, but I have to ask permission if I can read this book because we don't usually accept literature. So please pray for this guy that he can, you know, read, will be allowed to read this powerful book, and so he can know what the truth actually is.
Amen. Karina, where are you from?
I'm from Denver, Colorado.
So God sent Karina from Denver, Colorado to come and reach this man with the Great Controversy. Another quote from Cole Porter Ministry that I really appreciate says that men and women are wandering in the midst of fog and error. They want to know what is truth. Tell them not in high-flown language, but with the simplicity of the children of God. And you know, this is what our books do. They tell our story very simply. And our simplest books are the books that we carry for children that really simplify the Bible stories for them. And so Haley had a really interesting experience this week where she was sharing some of our children's books that actually opened up the door in order for her to be able to share more with someone. So she's going to tell you about that.
Okay. I'm Haley, and I'm from Texas. So I handed this lady the kids, our children's books, and she looked to one in particular, and she was like, oh, wow, I really need to read this because I don't even know all this stuff. And so I pulled out another one of the books that we have. It's called The Answer Book. And as she was flipping through it, I was telling her about it, and then she turned to a page that was answering questions about the judgment. And she was like, oh, the judgment is really, really scary. Like, I'm so scared of it. And I was like, you don't need to be afraid of the judgment. It's actually really, like, okay. And so she was like, oh, really? And so I pulled out The Great Controversy, and she, like, lit up. Like, I told her about how the angels will come to people who are scared and stuff. So anyways, I also pulled out another book that we have, which is Promise of Peace, which is like Desire of Ages and stuff like that. And I told her that it would give her peace in her life. And so we kept on talking and talking. And then she finally signed up for Bible studies and signed up for like Stop Smoking program. And I even gave her an address to a church nearby her. So pray that she will go there.
Amen. Amen. So the thing about canvassing is, long before we go to those doors, God is already working in their lives, and we don't know what's going on before we come, but it's always amazing when God works out these divine appointments and sends us to people at the right time. So Olivia definitely had a divine appointment this week, and she's going to tell you about that experience.
I was canvassing industrial businesses, and I walked into an auto mechanic shop, and I called, and a lady came in from the back, and she just looked very grumpy and sort of depressed. But what I didn't know at that point, that the past year, she'd been going through a really difficult family situation, and just that morning, she had gotten a call that the conflict had been resolved, but in a very dishonest and hurtful way to her, and it was tearing apart her family. So she wasn't very interested in the health books that I shared with her. But before I went, I shared with her that we were working with the famous Blue Bible Story company. And then she asked me what religion I was. And so I told her, oh, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Have you heard of us? And her whole face changed. And she gasped and she said, oh, you're a Seventh-day Adventist? I want to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. And so the conversation just exploded from there because we were so excited to have met each other. Turned out she was a homeschool mom, and over the past 20 years, she had been reading the Bible from different curriculums and different denominations, and I was able to connect with her because I was homeschooled too. And she discovered from her Bible studies the truths of the Sabbath and what happens when we die, and the health message as well. She'd heard about Adventists from her chiropractor, who had given her a Great Controversy, but she had never had a chance to read it yet. And so she didn't know that there was an Adventist church in the area, and so I prayed and I asked her, would you like to visit our church? My friends and I will be there on the 29th. You're welcome to come. And she said, yes, I would love to come. So I was able to share with her the address, and she signed up for personal Bible studies as well with members of the Warren Church that we're staying at. And before I left, I was also able to pray with her, and she prayed for me too, and it was such a blessing because we both realized that this was such a divine appointment that God had set up. And was able to leave her with Christ's Object Lessons and The Desire of Ages 2, and she's really excited to be reading those, as well as The Great Controversy that she already has. So I just pray that, and I ask you to pray that this family will continue to follow in the light that God is shedding on their path.
Well, it's exciting what's happening each summer. And of course, you cannot help but get a lot of good experiences. We're just getting started, so there will be so many more coming in as the summer progresses. If you want to be watching testimonies, you can, and you have access to Facebook. And if you type in GC Youth Ministries, they're actually posting our stories once every week. So we have every Friday, there will be a story from the Michigan young people posted on the GC Youth Ministries Facebook page. Now, I want to invite Elder Crick here, and he's a good friend of mine. He works for the Pacific Union as a Literature Ministries Director. I remember a few years ago, Elder Wilson was here, and he was here with our young people. I was so impressed with what they are doing, and he said, you know, I would like to see this happening all over the United States. So the question is anything happening in your union?
There is a lot happening, and the question is how to reach 54 million people in our territory. But by God's grace, we do this summer have 275 young people like this. And by the way, they smile as well as this group does, right? Yeah, okay. You guys know, yeah, you guys are smilers. 275 young people will visit over 1 million homes this summer in Pacific Union. And Pacific Union also runs a school of evangelism that emphasizes personal evangelism and literature evangelism leadership called Souls West. And about half of the leaders in Michigan Conference this summer are either graduates or students of Pacific Union's School of Literature Evangelism Leadership and Personal Evangelism, Souls West. So we're thankful for Michigan that they're sending people to our school, and we're happy to send them back. But things are happening, Camille. I was just knocking doors day before yesterday with a young girl in Stockton, California, and the girl had a bright smile. The man was completely disarmed because young faces help. Smiling young faces help. And the man came out, and he was disarmed. She showed him some books, and he said, should I get this one or this one? It was A Great Controversy or a kid's book. And I told him my personal testimony about The Great Controversy, and he got The Great Controversy, and then we threw in the kid's book as well. So this is what's happening. Young people disarming people with their bright smiles, and that's my challenge to you guys this summer.
Amen. Amen. I love collaborating. I want to invite Elder Carter. Elder Carter is really the father of the MagBook work. He's the first one to start the MagBook work. He has set up the structure. And so it's a privilege to have this man here with us. And he comes to visit every summer. You have retired 2 years ago, right?
Yes.
And now you have been a supporter of the...
I never retire.
You have supported the young people or the Literature Ministries Mission Conference for many, many years, but yet you work for different union. Tell us why.
Well, first of all, because they put a lot of money, the conference here, your conference puts a lot of money into it, puts you in charge of it, and there's a large program here. You're getting bigger than almost the Pacific Coast. Another reason is that I love the book Great Controversy. And Michigan programs put out, what did you do, over 5,000 last summer?
6,000.
6,000 Great Controversy. Now, I was converted by Great Controversy. So the Great Controversy, I realize how important it is. And every year, it just drove me nuts when Bill and I used to work together there in Pacific Union. And they would do more in this conference of Great Controversies than they did in our entire union. And so it has always been important to me to support that kind of method. And I'll tell you why I think you get more than anyone else. And it's very simple, as I believe that Michigan Conference is going to be prepared to take people in faster than any other place. Because of the spirituality of this conference, of its pastors, of its leadership, of its local church members, that the people, they're going to read those Great Controversies, and they're going to come in. We are at the end of time. I cannot believe the difference from when I started ministry to now. We're going to destroy ourselves if God doesn't come back and take us home. So the reason that I support this conference is because I see real evangelism going on here. And the reason I come, do you pay me when I come?
No.
No, you don't pay me. I come because I believe in it. I believe it. It's our time. Every one of us can do something. I'm going to give a pitch for GLOW now, Camille. All of you out there in Michiganders, you should be carrying your GLOW. I'm coming down in the audience, and I'm going to check you, okay, to make sure you have it. But I will tell you that that fourth angel in Revelation 8:1, Ellen White is very clear in stating to us and telling us that that angel, much of its work, most of its work, is going to be done by the ministry of publishing. Do you understand why? There's only a few million of us, but there's 7.5 billion people. So something has to get out there, right? Young people, what an army. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? This is an army. This is what will bring the Lord. This is what will make the difference. This is why Jesus will come. Not because of me. I'm done. Not yet. But this is what's going to make the difference right here. If they will have a vision, right? Those of you who have heard my worship, if they will have a vision, a prophetic vision. Amen? Thank you. Now you got me preaching. Don't take my mic away from me. Hey. I thank you for what you've done here also, Camille, and for being faithful in this work.
Amen. He doesn't sound like a retired man, does he? No, he doesn't. I want to thank Pastor Carter, Elder Crick, for coming, joining us every summer to support. And back to Danielle and David.
We tell our canvassing experiences, we tend to focus on the blessing that the community receives and the blessing that the students give. But we also want to highlight the fact that many times the greatest blessings that are received by the students. And the things that we are happiest about as leaders are when we see the lives of our young people changed. And so three of our students are going to share briefly why it is that they decided to canvass in Michigan this summer and what God has been doing in their lives.
Hello, my name is Thomas and I'm from Grand Rapids. So last summer I was at a mission trip in Lower Brook, Tennessee. And I noticed that my walk with the Lord was stronger than ever before. And I was living the Christian faith. And a little while forward, school began, and I lost touch with the Lord. I was living the principle, by beholding, we become changed. Where I was beholding things that I shouldn't have, I was saying things that I shouldn't have been saying. And I saw a difference. I began analyzing my life from having the Lord with me and not having him with me. So I saw that that it changed me. And so a couple months later, a friend of mine reached out to me and he said, do you want to go canvassing or something like that? And I was like, a part of me wanted to go and a part of me didn't want to go. But I ended up signing up and I applied late though, but here I am. It's been 2 weeks and the Lord has given me divine appointments. And one of them happened 2 days ago. I was at a guy's door. I knocked and he didn't answer. But I left a GLOW track, and then I went three houses ahead. And while I was at the third house, the guy that I left the GLOW track at, he came out of his house, he saw the GLOW track, and he saw me. And he was like, hey, are you the one who's leaving the GLOW tracks? And I was like, yes, I am. So I rushed back to him, and I start canvassing him. And he wasn't necessarily interested in the books. Well, he didn't have the money for the books, but we ended up talking, and he told me about his religious background. He said that he just wanted to learn more about God and where he stood with God, and he wanted to find out about what to believe in. And he ended up signing up for Bible studies, but he didn't really get the books. I'm thankful that the Lord helped him sign up for Bible studies, and I hope God blesses him.
Thank you very much. We are seeing that young people's lives changed as they come to the summer. And some of them, they have different needs, actually. And that's why these kind of programs have been set up. We have the privilege to know that this year, one of our leaders just graduated from the college debt-free. Amen? And this has been a huge blessing. But like Daniela said, that we are experiencing that each student, they have different needs. At times, they have financial needs, And at times, many times, they have spiritual needs, and the program is able to provide and supply those needs. How many of you have heard in the news the situation of Venezuela? Raise your hands. Many of you, you know that that country is going through a crisis right now. There's more than 4 million people that migrated out of that country. And I just want to introduce you to two of our brothers that are canvassing here this year. And can you tell us a little bit more about it, and what's your name, and how did you end up here in Michigan?
My name is Daniel, and this is my brother, Abraham. We were both born and raised in Venezuela, and we left there 5 years ago. And we arrived here as tourists, and then my mom tried to apply for citizenship through her brother that was already a citizen. But that process was interrupted last year when my uncle died. And
So you're pretty much, they came 5 years ago, leaving the crisis from that country, and they were trying to fix their migratory status through their uncle, but he passed away last year. And they canceled that process. So what were you doing during that time?
And after that, that summer of last year, my brother got invited to canvass in another program, and we accepted the calling with my sister, and
okay. So can you tell us more about it, Abraham?
Yeah, actually, canvassing that summer, I make a decision to commit myself to do God's work, and I joined a missionary training school. And last 8 months, I have been in that school down in Kentucky, missionary training school.
Amen. And so what happened during that time after these 8 months that you've been working and getting trained to be a missionary?
Yes, David. So my parents called me and told me, Abraham, we applied for a political asylum, and we hired an attorney, and this attorney was charging us a lot of money. So we need your help we need you to come here home and work for us and help us pay the debt. But I explained them that my plans were already made. I'm going to honor God, and I'm not planning to go do this. And I told them that God will provide. But my parents called me one more time and told me, Abraham, we really need your help. Please come, do your mission work, and then at the end of the summer, come and work at least for a month and help us pay the debt. But I start to question, because come back to home will be, I will need to work in a secular work, like stay in an office or construction. So I said, okay, I need to honor my parents, but at the same time, I need to honor my God. So how can I do both things at the same time? And so we already know through the spirit of prophecy that canvassing is a work second to none. So one of my friends shared to me about Youth Rush, Michigan Youth Rush, and I make the decision to come here and do that.
So he had a dilemma. So do I honor God or my parents? Because they need financial help as well. But by God's grace, he can serve God and also earn some money to help his parents. Amen? So can you tell us, how did you hear about the Michigan Youth Rush, Daniel?
Oh, last year, in my other program, one of my friends had canvassed here in Michigan, and we both were struggling in that program, and he told me that how this program was more spiritual, and how this program, the leaders cared more for the students. And
is it true?
For the spiritual growth, yes, it's true.
Is it true? Okay,
yeah.
Amen.
I thank my leaders. Sometimes.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Yeah. So, family, I just want to let you know that here it is, two young brothers, that they're trying to help their parents financially because they are paying a lawyer so they can fix their migratory status. How many of you want to pray for them and say, Lord, you know, we want to help these young people because that country is going through rough times. And we're so glad that there is a ministry for young people that they can grow spiritually, but that they also can help them financially, either for school. Yes.
And something I've been learning, in one of the books that we sell, Christ of Your Lessons, it shares about surrender. When the will of man cooperates with the will of God, he becomes omnipotent. So by doing God's will, he's going to provide. Yeah, so.
Amen.
I'm looking at the young people, and I see young people from different parts of the world. And they're all working together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, it's really fitting to mention today is the refugee Sabbath as well. And I know we have some young people who came as refugees. And it's wonderful for them to come and join the mission, reaching out to the people in Michigan as well. Elder Ringstaff, you have been a student literature evangelist. And so you know what they need. And I'd like you to, if you don't mind, pray for these young people. And I'd like to invite all of you to also join in praying for young people this summer.
Amen. Well, we do want to pray for them. We want to pray for the Spirit of God to rest upon them. A summer like this can change the course of a young person's life. And it can change the course of many other people's lives. That's why we seriously and earnestly need the Spirit of God. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray once again for the Lord's blessing? Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for Elder Metz's leadership. Pray that you'll bless him. I pray that you'll bless each one of these young people. Lord, I ask that over these summer months, that their walk with you will increase, that they'll learn to walk with you in a way that they are in that constant communion with heaven. That they'll learn the science of soul winning. And that they'll grow and grow in a burden for the lost. Their faces would shine with the glory of heaven as they go from door to door. That as those individuals who open the door, they will see the countenance of these young people. And they will know immediately that there is something special that they have, as if it were a message from heaven just for them. So, Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to do a powerful work. And we know that indeed you want to do that if we will only surrender completely to you. And we ask that you would help us. And we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one of you, and our prayers will continue with you as you go door to door with a message of this kingdom.
I don't know you, but I'm very inspired. I loved my canvassing experience. I'm so thankful to see these young people up there and the stories that they shared. I'd like to see a show of hands. How many of you have ever studied or worked at a public university? Okay. That's quite a few hands.
That is, actually. How many of you know someone who is currently attending a public university? Show of hands. Oh, wow. A lot more hands.
Yes.
Elena and I represent the Department of Public Campus Ministry here in Michigan, in the Michigan Conference. By the way, the Michigan Conference is one of the first conferences to have a ministry solely dedicated to meeting the needs of students on our public universities. We also represent CAMPUS, which stands for the Center for Adventist Ministry to Public University Students, and CAMPUS has been in operation for the past 20 years. Israel Ramos is also a leader in CAMPUS ministry in the public CAMPUS ministry department, but he's also working on safety now, so he's not present with us. And so we're very happy to get to share with you right now. Elena, why do we do what we do?
One of the reasons why we do what we do is, in Michigan alone, and even in the United States, hundreds, thousands, even millions of students come from internationally, from many different countries, and 68% of these international students are from the 1040 window. These are countries where we, as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventists, are not allowed to go and establish churches. But we have the opportunity to reach these students that are coming to these public universities right here in our communities, maybe even next door to where you live.
So we believe that if you reach the university, you reach the world. Isn't that what we're called to do? Reach the world? That's indeed the reason why we preach the Three Angels message. Amen?
So I'd like to share, let me use that one.
Go ahead.
I'd like to share a story with you today.
Because when we think about evangelism, and especially reaching international students, sometimes it's very easy to get discouraged, especially if you're maybe have a Hindu friend or a Muslim friend or a Buddhist friend, because it's a work of seed sowing. And when you plant that seed, the person who plants that seed is so important, just as the person who is instrumental in reaping that harvest. But ultimately, God is the one that continues to grow that seed. I want to tell you the story of two young ladies, one, Erin Gordon, and the other, Zarema. Now, Erin was a student at Eastern Michigan University. And in 2008, she had a roommate named Zarema. Now, Zarema came from Uzbekistan, which is a country formerly part of the USSR. Now, Zarema was a Muslim. She was not a Christian. But Erin was very faithful, inviting her to all the different social events that they held at their university. They had a campus ministry there. They would have social events. They would sometimes play, you know, games together. And Zarema would always come. And one time, there was one particular Adventist student that said, well, why don't you come to church? Now, this didn't bother Zarema because she had had so many positive experiences with Adventist. She knew that these were such loving, kind people. Well, Zarema left Eastern Michigan. She was only there for 1 year. And Erin stayed in touch with her, and they reconnected over time. They even lived together for a while. And something that was interesting is that wherever she went, it seemed as if God put an Adventist in her path. She even went to Panama. She was working in Panama as an ESL teacher. And while she was there, she made a really good friend, her closest friend. And they had been friends for 7 months. And she found out that this friend was a Seventh-day Adventist. God has a way of watering the seeds that you plant. Now, fast forward. Now, she still has not made any confession or interest in becoming a Christian or a Seventh-day Adventist. During that time when she was with Erin, Erin had brought her home, and she got to meet her family, Erin's family, and Erin took her to her home church in Sioux, Ontario. And so she met a family there, and she went to Thanksgiving with Erin when she was down in the Ypsilanti, Detroit area, and went to the Oakwood Church, and she loved hearing Justin Kim preach, so she started going to church. Now, mind you, the first time she met an Adventist was in 2008, so I'm hoping you guys can do math. 2008 was the first time she met an Adventist. She ended up having a huge crisis in her life, ended back up in Sioux, Canada. And while she was in Sioux, Canada, when this crisis happened, she had no friends. But she did remember the Seventh-day Adventist couple that Erin had introduced her to. She reached out to this couple, and this couple invited her to come live with them. And while she was in that home, she began to see what a loving home looks like. She began to see what it meant to really have a father, because she didn't have a father figure in her life. She began to go to church with them. She asked for Bible studies. They began to study with her. In May 18 of this year, she was baptized. Now, sometimes we underestimate the power of a seed, but she was a Muslim, and that's she was very strong in her faith. But the Lord led her to that saving decision because of the water that he gave along the way, and he watered that seed. So you never can underestimate the seeds that you plant in maybe the people that you work with, or especially in these public universities.
Amen. Just want to add to that. Recently, I was praying, and it was Monday morning. I got out of my bed, and I prayed and I asked the Lord very simply, Lord, please, can you use me today to reach someone on your behalf? I got out of bed and got ready. I was on my way to a meeting, and I got out of the house with my cereal in hand, and I walked to my car and realized that in that moment that my car, there was a problem with the battery and the car wouldn't start. Remember that prayer that I prayed, and I sat there thinking, who can I ask to help me with my car? I was still eating my granola as I was making my way out. And a young man, I decided to ask the first person that would walk out of my apartment to help me with my car. And this young man was walking out. I stopped him and asked him, can you please help me with my car? He drove his car up and gave me a jump start, hit my side mirror on his way in, but nonetheless, he awkwardly apologized, and I was very thankful that he got my car started and I was ready to go. Before I walked away, I introduced myself and invited him, hey, would it be okay if we did lunch together? I want to pay you back for what you did for me. Little did I know that this was the very person that I prayed for. This young man and I had lunch that day, and it turned out that he was a professor at a university that was literally two blocks from where we are in East Lansing. He is a professor at Michigan State, and he teaches in the area of the sciences. Not only is he a professor, he's also atheist, and he wasn't afraid to let me know. Neither was I afraid to let him know that I'm a pastor. And so here it is, a pastor and an atheist sitting in a restaurant having a meal together. We started talking, we became very, very good friends, and now we are meeting together and studying the Bible. This past Thursday, I had this young man in my home. We had a nice vegan meal together. We actually cooked it ourselves. And my wife, she also helped us out because we didn't understand what we were doing. But nonetheless, he was there with us, and this young man is now at a place in his life where he looked at me and he said, Jermaine, I really want to try this God thing. I got him a Bible as a gift, and he looked at me in the eyes and he said, listen, I'm an atheist. I'm going to read this in a very weird way. I hope you don't mind. And I looked at him, I said, read it however weird you want to read it. I know God is going to speak to you. Amen? God is doing powerful things through public campus ministry. And we have many people in these universities who need to hear the message that we have and cherish so well. And we need to preach this message. Because reach the campus, you reach the world. And that is what we're doing. We solicit your prayers. We ask you, if you know any young person at a public university, please direct them our way. We want to help them as much as we can. We believe that if you're on a public campus and you are not, if you are not a missionary on a public campus, you are a mission field. And we want to find you. We want to be able to help you. So please keep us in your prayers. Thank you so much for your time. God bless.
And you can find us at the booth. We have a booth in the tent behind us. So please come and visit us.
Thank you.
Have you been blessed? I'd like to invite you to stand as we end our soul-winning hour with prayer and get ready for our evening meeting. Heavenly Father, how our hearts have been moved as we've heard the testimonies, just a sliver of the hundreds and hundreds of testimonies we could have heard of what you are doing as we live here at the end of time. We ask that as we go from this, these testimonies won't just be stories that we were entertained by. These testimonies will inspire each one of us to go out and allow you to use us to make a difference in this community for you. Thank you for the commission you've given us. Thank you for the strength that you empower us with. We lay our lives in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.